Let's talk a little bit about what's going on with the NHL. You saw the protocol released over the weekend, pretty detailed. We don't have all of the answers. I, for one, have been very impressed with the way the NHL has rolled this out, the way they've slow played a lot of things, quite frankly. What's been your impression?
Well, they've been incredible. I mean, they've had a lot of time to do it and a lot of smart people gathered in New York or in their homes in the New York area and Toronto, just trying to tackle every possible issue that they could be facing. And there are still going to be hurdles that they're going to have to overcome. But I think the NHL has done a masterful job. I, for one, have all along thought that this was an impossibility. I didn't think that this was going to be something that they could actually make happen. And hey, it still may not happen, but at this point in time, they've positioned themselves brilliantly, in my opinion, to make it happen, to make the players feel as safe as possible, to just answer as many questions as people would have, whether they're broadcasters, their fans, their players, their team executives. There are a ton of questions that are not answered yet, but in due time, people will get those answers and they'll be well thought out answers. I think the NHL has done an absolutely brilliant job.
Especially when you can compare and contrast it with what's happening in Major League Baseball or Major League Soccer right now. The NHL appears to have used its time very wisely. What would be going through your mind if you were associated with either of those other sports I just mentioned right now?
Yeah, they're like, if hockey can do it, why can't we do it? It is an amazing contrast between baseball and hockey right now. And again, as I laud the NHL for what they've done, To use their time so wisely, as you put it, and it's a brilliant way of putting it because, you know, during this downtime, you know, they decided, wow, you know, we are getting along quite well right now. Maybe this is the best possible time to reopen this CBA talks and maybe tackle that. To not only come up with all the protocols and all the different issues they've got to face to come back and play during a pandemic, but also tackle the CBA at the same time. I saw that as problematic and thought that, well, that might be a reason why these players may not ratify everything moving forward, and it could further delay. And I still think we're going to see some more delays. I'd be shocked if we opened camp on Monday like they were hoping. But that said, to be able to tackle those two things at the same time, it just speaks volumes. And it kind of makes you scratch your head and say, why couldn't they have figured this out when we lost the entire season years back? But anyway, they've come to their senses. They've figured this out. And again, amazing that hockey would be the front runner of all the sports to be able to do that. I never would have guessed that they would have been the shining example for other leagues to look at.
Eric Francis, in conversation with him this morning here on the Scott Rintoul Show. A year ago, if you were looking at a Flames depth chart, Juuso Välimäki would have been a name people were pretty excited about. We all know the injury hasn't been present. Now he's healthy. He could be ready to go, but as you point out in your column, that is not likely to happen. For those who do not know the situation or have not read your column, why is that?
So he missed the entire season this year after knee surgery, and it's a 10 to 12 month recovery, and he was trucking along doing really, really well. We're 10 months in right now. There's little doubt in my mind that he's probably going to be healthy enough to play, but this is a guy who's going to be the anchor of their defense for many, many years to come. He's a first-round draft pick of theirs, and they covet him tremendously. The big two things are this. There's no reason to rush him back, A, because there are nine other players ahead of him on the depth chart right now who played NHL minutes. Actually, 10 if you count one of the Black Aces they're going to have, Yellison. So 10 guys who are fully capable of logging NHL minutes in the playoffs. They've played in the NHL this year. They don't have to get up to speed like Välimäki would. But the bigger issue, or as important, is the Seattle expansion draft. You know, if Välimäki plays one game this year, then it eats up his second year of pro. Next year would be his third year of pro. That means he'd have to be protected in the expansion draft. The Flames already have two of their three defensemen earmarked to be protected. That's, you know, Rasmus Anderson and Noah Hanifin. They both have long-term contracts, young, talented guys. The third guy, you don't want to have to protect Välimäki. You want to have to either protect your captain, Mark Giordano, or you're going to want to protect whoever the free agent is that the Flames signed this summer, whether it's Hamonic, whether it's TJ Brody, or whether it's some other top four defenseman that they're clearly going to have to sign. You know, so it doesn't make any sense on any level to play Juuso Välimäki unless the Calgary Flames go on a deep, deep run and they start running out of defensemen, and it's like, well, we got to put him into play. At that point, if the Stanley Cup might be on the line, then you consider it. But otherwise, no chance.
It's a great point, and it's one of those considerations that people sort of forget about because we're all excited at the prospect just of getting hockey back. And, hey, if you lose in that play-in round, you get a shot at the number one overall draft pick. That's pretty good. But if you get through, now it's full go. What's been the reaction in the Alberta market as to the thought of, hey, maybe it's not the worst thing in the world if we lose to the Jets compared to let's see if we can beat another Canadian team and then get on a run?
You know, to me, it's nonsensical to sit there and almost hope that you lose so that you have a 12.5% chance of getting a franchise player. Sure, if you do lose, it's a small consolation. And, of course, if you win that lottery, then you're thrilled and everything turned out perfectly. I get it. But to sit there going into the playoffs, a team that was the best team in the West last year, and, yes, this year they had their stumbling blocks. They had a ton of adversity on and off the ice. But to sit there and just write them off and say, oh, well, I hope they lose, that's nonsensical to me. Yet that is a great – it's a valid question, and it's a prevalent thought in the marketplace because people are down on this team. They're down on Johnny Gaudreau. They're down on Sean Monahan. I don't think it's rational, but that's the thinking in this market right now. They don't think this team is built for the playoffs. And, hey, these guys have a chance right now to prove to everyone that that is the wrong assessment. But again, people are scared of Winnipeg. I think people in this city would be scared of any team the Calgary Flames would have had to play in a play-in round in the West. I mean, there's so many talented teams. There's so much parity. Calgary Flames are going to be in tough. But you got to hope for the best and hope that they win a round if you're a Flames fan, I would think. That's the way I would look at it.
You bring up a really good point because there's a built-in excuse for every player, every team in this tournament, and that's both on the positive side and negative side. Somebody flops, well, man, they've been off for this many months. How can you expect player X to get up and running and be as good as you hope them to be in early April when things were going according to plan? Or if it goes the other way, well, how much do we really read into this because this isn't the same context we've seen the playoffs in before? If you're Brad Treliving, if you're Jim Benning, if you're any general manager who will have a team in this event, should you already have your mind made up on players, or how much could that be swayed by what happens?
It's the million-dollar question here in Calgary. I mean, it pertains to the coach. You know, if they lose in three, is that an indictment of Jeff Ward? And do they take the interim tag off and fire him, or do they still give him the head coaching job? You know, Johnny Gaudreau, all year long, it's been the biggest talking point in Calgary for the last year and a half. Is Johnny Gaudreau, can he be a playoff player? And the same is said about Sean Monahan. And the whole season was predicated on, you know, what they would do following this season was all going to be dictated on how they performed in the playoffs. Or if they missed the playoffs, there's your answer right there. But, you know, I don't think you're going to get an accurate assessment. In my opinion, all these guys can do is really up their value. Right now, people see their value as low. Johnny Gaudreau and Sean Monahan in terms of playoff performers. Right or wrong, that's the perception in this city. And to me, if they lose in three, everyone will say, yeah, told you so. If they win this series or win a couple series or have a good playoff run, then their stock gets up and everyone's like, wow, that changes everything. Maybe we don't have to blow up the core. At the end of the day here in Calgary, Johnny Gaudreau, I don't believe, is going to re-sign in Calgary. That's another prevalent thought in this city. And there are lots of reasons why. He has 2 years left on his contract after this season. You're not going to let him go into your final season and let what happened to Jerome Iginla happen to Johnny Gaudreau. So sometime in the next season, you're going to see Johnny Gaudreau have to be traded. If they flop in the playoffs, is it fair to just trade him this summer? I don't know. Summer, November, whatever the off season is. I don't think so. So in a long-winded way of trying to answer your question, I don't know the answer. I don't really think it's fair to make assessments based on what could end up being a three-game playoff or play-in. I think you have to have decided already. And I don't know what the answer is on Johnny Gaudreau. Was he good enough this year to prove to you that he can carry a team when it matters most? Or was he not? I don't have the answer, and I'm not sure the playoffs are going to provide that.
Sportsnet's Eric Francis joining us this morning on the Scott Rintoul Show. And that leads to the next question. And look, I know we don't really know till we get there whether it's October, November, that off season and free agency and what the cap exactly looks like. What are you most curious about when it comes to the offseason, Eric, whether it's the draft or the UFA market, anything else that might be up in this fall?
Well, in terms of, like, adding to the roster, offensively, I can't imagine they do anything. People like to attach Taylor Hall to this team because he has some Calgary ties, but that to me doesn't make any sense at all with the amount of money he's going to be demanding. You know, so defensively, they've got to either replace TJ Brody or Travis Hamonic. My guess is they'll sign Brody and Hamonic will walk, or they may opt to not sign either guy and go with someone else. In goal, I would assume they're going to re-sign Cam Talbot, and then they'd have Cam Talbot and David Rittich again. It was a pretty good duo this year. The big question again in the offseason, though, and the thing everyone's more, is this team, does the core need to be blown up? It's the question everybody asked for several years here. And again, I don't know if the playoffs will provide, it'll provide some sort of answer to us, but, you know, that's the number one thing I'll be watching for this summer. Are there major changes? Because otherwise, as I just alluded to, forward-wise, you're not touching this team. You know, goalie-wise, I doubt you are. And even defense, it's a third or number three or number four defenseman you're changing. Big deal. But do they need to blow up and make a significant move? This is a GM who's got a long history of not being scared to roll the dice. And, you know, if he feels like this team's chemistry is just not good enough, then he will affect some significant change. And that's what we'll all be watching for.
Well, and to tie the offseason into the Valimaki story, Seattle expansion is infinitely interesting to me for a couple of reasons. And it was always going to be, but what did we hear the whole way, Eric? They're not going to make the same mistakes, other GMs, that they made with Vegas. Well, now, all of a sudden, there's a flat cap. There are going to be a lot of financial stresses put on certain organizations around the league. And here comes Seattle, and what's their big asset? Cap space, because they have a blank slate right now. How does that change Seattle's ability to make deals leading up to that expansion draft?
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see. You know, I just look at the Calgary situation to start with, and, you know, again, I alluded to the Mark Giordano. Did the Flames try to make a deal to say, look, just don't take our captain, you know? He's going to be 37 at that point for sure. He's not going to be a Norris Trophy candidate at all. But, you know, he's still the leader of this team and beloved in this community. And, you know, do the Flames try to broker a deal? Is Seattle open to brokering deals with teams? I don't know. And I don't have any sort of insight on that. That's still a year away. And we'll be fascinated to watch as teams position. Because, again, you talk about the Calgary Flames in the offseason and will they blow up the core? Will they make a significant move here or there? Every move that every team makes this in the offseason, this November, and also, you know, next summer leading into the expansion draft, is going to be with an eye on making sure that you are keeping as many guys protected as possible. You don't want to go and acquire two or three big assets and then have to maybe lose one of them in the expansion draft. So, yeah, I'm fascinated with all of it. I don't have many answers, but I do know that I think it'll be radically different than Vegas, whereas teams are not going to be all that interested in negotiating and adding two or three players to Seattle's roster in exchange for protecting a player here or there.
Yeah, it'll be a different type of deal that's made, but it still allows the potential for deals. It's going to be fascinating. This tournament's going to be fascinating if it gets off the ground, and we've all got our fingers crossed. You and I will reconvene. We will talk about this as we lead up to the All-Canadian Series between the Flames and the Jets taking place in Edmonton. Eric, great stuff, my friend. Hope your July is going very well and that it continues, and I look forward to doing this again soon.
All right. Thanks, man. Talk to you soon, Scott.